Genesis in chapter number 3. Genesis in chapter number 3. It is good to be back here with you at Frederick Baptist Church. Thank you, Brother C, again for allowing me to be able to be here and opening up your pulpit and allowing me to be here. I enjoy being around your preacher. Amen. What a blessing he is. And I've enjoyed being able to share the pulpit with them at the Church Growth Conference. And I think they call that the NCGC. Everything is in initials there at Lexington. I'm having to go behind back doors and figure out what everything is. We moved to Lexington last year, and my wife said everything's in initials. So she doesn't call me Chris anymore. She just calls me C now. So amen. So, but anyway, and she says I'm ready for you to be at H. Amen. That's at home. Amen. So I'm looking forward to being able to see the teenagers again in the next few days in Lexington at the NYFC. But anyway, so we enjoy getting to preaching that. I'm thankful to be able to do that. Turn your Bibles to Genesis chapter number 3. Genesis in chapter number 3, and we'll probably share some stories in the evening service tonight, but the Lord has it's been a smooth transition, and we were in the process of finalizing everything this time last year when we were with you. But we have, Nikita and I have moved to Lexington, Kentucky, and it's been a smooth transition. It's just a more centralized location. Obviously, we know that it's God's will for us to be there, and a good place for my wife, especially when she's not with me, but then also for me to get fed under the preaching of the Word of God from Brother Fugate. Amen. And we appreciate being able to be there, but also getting to teach in the Bible College on Fridays, and then also something that's been very near and dear to my heart, especially for many years since the Lord saved me from that. But we've been able to start an addictions outreach called the Victory in Jesus Addiction Outreach there at Clay's Mill on Friday nights. And just a quick story, one of the very first families that Nikita and I were able to reach through knocking doors, named Donovan and Destiny. And God's just done a miraculous work in their life. We'll share maybe another couple of stories about them this evening. But Donovan went soul winning for the first time yesterday. And he texted me. He said, Brother Dallas, he said, I just did the coolest thing ever. I went soul winning today. And he was able to see three souls saved at the same time. And he was a silent partner. And I pray with Donovan every morning at 8 o'clock, pray with him this morning. And he was still overwhelmed and been able to see that. Amen. Soul winning to change your life. Amen. And I'm glad that a soul winner came by my way, there in that pew, third row from the pew at the Bethel Baptist Church in Walls, Mississippi. I was living in a halfway house for dope addicts and alcoholics. My life was absolutely a complete mess, and I something was going on in my heart, even all through the preaching and during invitation. Didn't know what it's called back then, but I know what it's called now. It's called Holy Ghost conviction. Amen. And there was a man by the name of Brother Albright that came and stood beside me, put his arm around me, brought me up real close to him, said, "You don't know who I am, but I've been praying for you." When he said those words, this old cold, stony heart began to melt. And he took me on a journey that night. That journey was called the Romans Road to Salvation. And I bowed my head and bowed my heart and called on God to save my soul. And my life has never been the same since that day. And I'm forever grateful for a soul winner. Genesis chapter number 3. Genesis chapter number 3. We'll look at verse number 8. We'll look at verse number 8 and 9. When we moved to Lexington, Brother Fugate and Brother Jorgensen, they asked me if I would consider teaching in the Bible College, and I said that I would. And they said, Brother Dallas, Brother Jorgensen texted me and said, Brother Dallas, preacher would like for you to teach a class. He said, we're going to make up a class for you, but we'd like to incorporate this in the Bible College. He said, we'd like for you to teach a class on walking with God. And I believe that's a pretty important class for Bible College, amen. But it's an important class for all of us that are saved by the grace of God. And I want to talk to us a little bit about that this morning. Genesis chapter number 3, verse number 8. The Bible says, and they heard the voice of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day. And Adam and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God amongst the trees of the garden. And the Lord God called unto Adam and said unto him, where art thou. And I believe with all my heart this morning that the same God of heaven is asking sinful man the same question 6,000 years later. Where art thou? Where art thou when it comes to reading this book? Where art thou when it comes to having a sincere prayer life? Well, I don't have to go to social media to post my problems. I can access the throne of grace and talk to God myself. Where art thou when it comes to dying to self and being led by the Spirit? Where art thou when it comes to not being so much concerned about happiness as your holiness? Where art thou? Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, we sure do love you. And Lord, we sure do thank you, Lord, for first loving us. Thank you for saving us. And dear God, we come to you today. Lord, we thank you for this church. Lord, thank you for what it stands for. Thank you for the man of God. And Lord, thank you for the folks that make up this church. Lord, the ones that are burdened for sinners. And Lord, just telling them about Jesus. Lord, we thank you for that. Lord, we come to you now. We ask you that you bless these next few minutes in Sunday school. And we'll give you all the honor and glory for what you do. In your precious name I pray. Amen. Allow me to lay a very bottom of the shelf foundation, and then we'll get right into the lesson here this morning. And we understand that if you've been in church any length of time at all, you already know the foundation that I'm going to lay. But let me just lay it for the sake of the lesson this morning. We understand that contrary to the secular world, that you and I were not evolved from a monkey, amen? Although some of these teenage boys may smell like one from time to time, we were not evolved from a monkey, amen? And we were created in the image and the likeness of God. And that very first man that God created, his name was Adam. And he gave Adam a commandment. He said, Adam, he said, you can partake of everything in the garden except for the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, because the day thou eatest thereof, thou shalt surely die. And you'll find that Adam, he began to name the beasts of the field, the fowl of the air, and God saw that it was not good for Adam to be left alone. So he caused a deep sleep to come upon Adam. He took a rib out of Adam and he made a woman. And you'll find that her name was Eve. So now Adam has a companion. So first of all, we see the creation of man. We see the commandment to man. We see the companion for man. But then you'll find over in the book of Genesis, chapter number 3, that the serpent, which is a picture of Satan, he begins to question and he begins to deny the word of God. And he begins to say, yea, hath God said. And Eve said, well, we can partake of everything in the garden except for the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. Because the day that we eat us thereof, we're going to surely die. And he said, well, you're not going to die, but you'll see yourself as gods. And can I say today that that the temptation to Eve was not to partake of the fruit. There was fruit all around her. But the temptation was that you'll see yourself as gods, or you'll be as gods. And the Bible says that she partook of the fruit, and she did give to her husband, and he did eat. So now we see the compromise of man. We see that Adam broke the commandment that God told him not to break. So now the condemnation falls upon man. The penalty falls upon Adam. That penalty was death and hell. The Bible says in Romans chapter 5, but you understand, because of Adam breaking that commandment, sin not only affected Adam, but it affected every man, woman, boy, and girl until today, March the 3rd, 2019. Every one of us are sinners because of that one man's sin. You understand? Yes, before I got saved, I was a full-blown drug addict, and my drug addiction was sin, but that's not why God saw me as a sinner. He sees you as a sinner because of that one man's sin. The Bible says in Romans chapter 5, verse number 12, wherefore as by one man, that one man was Adam, sin entered into the world, and death by sin, and so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. The Bible goes on to say in Romans chapter 3, verse number 23, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. David said in Psalm 51, he said, I was born in iniquity. Those of you that have children here this morning, you understand, you never have to teach your child how to do wrong. You have to teach your child how to do right. Why? Because we're all born sinners, amen. So the condemnation fell upon man. So first of all, we see the creation expectation of man. Second of all, we see the commandment to man. Third of all, we see the companion of man. Then the compromise of man, the condemnation of man. But thank God it doesn't stop at condemnation. Thank God as I read my Bible a little bit further, I see the compassion to man. My Bible says in Romans chapter 5, verse number 8, but God commendeth, that word commendeth means he proved his love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. You understand there was a penalty for our sin. It was the penalty of death. But thank God I don't have to die and you don't have to die for your sin because of the shed blood on the cross of Calvary for my sin and for your sin. Amen. But you understand before Adam broke that commandment, the God of heaven would come to the garden every single day in the cool of the day and have fellowship with his creation, Adam. He would walk and talk with his creation along life's narrow way. And when Adam committed that sin, there was broken fellowship between God and man. But thank God that fellowship was restored through the redemptive blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. The Bible says in 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse number 5, for there is one God and one mediator between God and man, the man Christ Jesus. And I'm glad this morning that if you and I have saw ourselves as a sinner, and because of our sin that we deserve that place called hell. But we don't have to die and go to hell because of the shed blood of the cross of Calvary. And we put our faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. And we bow our head and our heart and call on God to save our soul. I thank God that now I have a relationship with my Heavenly Father. And I can never lose that relationship. But that fellowship can be broken. But I'm glad this morning, the same God that provided a way for man to escape the eternal flames of hell, and the same God that allows our heart to beat and our brain to function, and the same God that created all 7.5 billion folks on earth, is the same God of heaven that wants to spend one-on-one time with you and me. When I'm talking about walking with God, you understand that word walk, that demonstrates a furtherance. Not standing still. Not going backwards. But as the old songwriter wrote, the world is behind me. The cross is before me. And I've decided to follow Jesus. Can I say this? Mark it down. If you don't get another statement, get this statement right here. Mark it down. The day that you and I take a day off as fleshly men and women from walking with God. When I'm talking about walking with God, I'm talking about reading our Bible. I'm talking about praying. I'm talking about dying to self and being led by the Spirit and being a faithful witness. Child of God, the day that you and I take a day off as fleshly men and women from walking with God, the world, the flesh, and the devil do not take a day off in bringing temptation in our lives and trying to knock us off kilter in living for God and bringing honor and glory to him instead of shame and reproach. We need to understand every single one of us, whether you've been saved just for a few days or you've been saved for many, many years, we still have to live in this stuff called the flesh every single day. And this flesh that we live in is still wicked, it's still vile, it's still sinful, and we have to find out what it is to die to this flesh and be led by the Spirit of God. I told my addiction outreach a few weeks ago, we were talking about this subject on walking with God, and I probably set the marker too high, but I said, you mark it down. I said, if Chris Dallas were to lay down his Bible for 30 days and not open it, I said, if Chris Dallas were not to find himself and access the throne room of grace for 30 days, if Chris Dallas would feed to the flesh instead of the Spirit for 30 days, if Chris Dallas would have anything to do with his Heavenly Father for 30 days, I said, Chris Dallas is capable of committing the most heinous crimes of the one that is sitting in the Kentucky State Prison today. And child of God, you are too. Why? Because our flesh is wicked, it's vile, it's sinful, and I don't want the flesh to rule and reign my life, but I want the Spirit of God to rule and reign my life. Child of God, just like you and I need a physical physical bath every single day. We need a spiritual bath where we come in contact with the washing of the water by the word every single day. I guess preachers have been saying it ever since I've been saved, and especially in the ministry, but the last couple of years I've really paid attention to it. Preachers that I sit with, they say most of the times what I'm preaching to my people is just that dedicated walk with God. I was with a preacher in West Virginia some time ago, and he'd been pastoring that church for over 27 years, and tears began to stream down his face. And he said, "Brother Dallas," he said, "I believe there's times that I stand up to preach to my people, that I'm preaching from a book that they never read, and I'm telling them about a God that they don't even know." Turn your Bibles to Joshua chapter 24, still laying a foundation. We're going to get into some preaching here in just a minute. Look at Joshua chapter number 24. You know the verse. Many times as we go out knocking doors, we see a plaque in a flower bed with this verse on it. We'll see it on the front door. We'll see it in a picture frame inside a home. I know that we know the verse. Most of us could probably quote it. But I want you to see it here this morning. Look at Joshua chapter 24. Look at verse number 15. The Bible says that if it seem evil unto you to serve the Lord, choose you this day. I want you to look at this next word. Pay attention to it. Whom ye will serve. Whether the gods which your father served that were on the other side of the flood or the gods of the Amorites in whose land ye dwell. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Did you see what it said? It said whom you will serve. Not if you will serve, but whom you will serve. Because child of God, you and I will serve someone. We will either serve God or we will serve the world, the flesh, or the devil. And we will not serve someone and we will not follow someone that we know nothing about and that we're not walking with. Turn your Bibles very quickly and then we're going to get right into the lesson. Look at Psalm chapter number 12. Look at Psalm chapter number 12. Oh, I'm so thankful that I serve an omnipresent God. I'm so glad that my God is not just limited to Lexington, Kentucky, but he came with me right here to Frederick, Maryland, amen. And in that motel room this morning, before the sun ever came up, I was able to speak to the very God of heaven. And you can speak to the very God of heaven as well, amen, and spend time with him in this Bible. Look at Psalm chapter 12, look at verse number 1. Look what David said. He said, "Help, Lord." It would do us good just to utter those two words every now and then, wouldn't it? Help, Lord. Lord, I can't make it in my own energy. I can't get through life on my own efforts. I can't do it through my own ambitions. Help, Lord. Then look what he says. For the godly man ceaseth. You understand, it's not some great mystery how you and I can become godly in this wicked world that we live in. We become godly by reading this book, by praying, by being at the house of God when we should be at the house of God. For the godly man ceaseth. Then look what it goes on to say. For the faithful fail from among the children of men. Child of God, mark it down. When godliness ceases in your life, or if you've never developed a walk with God to become godly, when godliness ceases, faithfulness will soon follow. You say, "Brother Dallas, I love Frederick Baptist Church. I love Pastor Seed. I love the ministries of this place." Can I say you may love this place with all your heart, all your soul, all your might, but if you don't find yourself in this book and a sincere prayer life and dying to self and being led by the Spirit, you may not find yourself here this time next year, my friend, because when godliness ceases in our life, faithfulness will soon follow. Amen. I want to talk to us very quickly this morning on the importance of walking with God. Can I say, first of all, walking with God, it's a reverent time. It's a reverent time. That word reverent, it means feeling or showing deep and solemn respect. Can I say this morning, whether you agree with them or disagree with them, we should still respect the position. But just think about it with me this morning, men. If President Trump were to have somebody from the White House call one of us men and wanted to set up a meeting with us tomorrow in the White House at 9 o'clock, if we had any sense of awe, whether we want to share with him our agreements or our disagreements, if we had any sense of awe at all, we would show up for that meeting. We'd probably shine our shoes. We'd probably iron our shirt. We'd probably comb our hair. We'd brush our teeth, dab a little cologne on, be 15 minutes early. And we would make sure that nothing or no one would interfere with our meeting with the President of the United States. Can I say, as much as I respect the position of the President of the United States, there is one far more important that has done far more for us than President Donald Trump. I'm talking about the one that wants to set up a meeting with us today and tomorrow and as long as life is in our body. Child of God, I'm talking about the God of all heaven and earth wants to walk with us and talk with us a long life's narrow way. I'm talking about the one that created man in his own image and likeness is the one that said, come boldly to the throne of grace. I'm talking about the same God. The Bible says in the Old Testament that the tabernacle could not even contain all of his glory is the same God that wants to meet you and I in a prayer closet, and the same God that heard the prayer and answered the prayer of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego is the same God that will hear and answer our prayer as well, and the same God that brought Joseph out of prison and made his dreams reality is the same God that brought us up out of a horrible pit and out of the miry clay and set our feet upon a rock, and the same God that said, let not your heart be troubled is the same God that said, I'll never leave thee nor forsake thee. Can I say this morning, as important as God is, and as much as he has done for you and me, don't tell me how much you love him. Don't tell me how much you adore him if you're not willing to walk with him and he set a place for you at his table. And we don't even have enough decency to show up and commune and fellowship with God a while. When I'm home, my wife wants me to be at home, amen. And to Nikita, supper time is very important to her. And as you can tell, it's very important to me as well, amen. Especially when we're eating there at supper, or it doesn't matter if we're at home or at a restaurant, but especially at home. When she doesn't want to sit in the living room. She doesn't want to sit at the kitchen bar. Not a liquor bar, but a kitchen bar with bar stools. I gotta clarify that. But she wants to sit at the table. And when we're at the table eating supper, she doesn't want a cell phone there. She doesn't want a computer there. She doesn't want any other form of communication there. She just wants me to give all my attention to her. Can I ask you today, child of God? When's the last time you entered in that quiet place? And you shut the cell phones off. And you shut the computers off. And you shut every other form of communication off. And you just spent time with the very God of heaven that is in control of all 7.5 billion, but yet wants to spend one-on-one time with each and every one of us this morning. Not only is it a reverent time, but second of all, turn your Bibles very quickly to Ephesians chapter number 5. Ephesians in chapter number 5. Look at Ephesians chapter number 5. Look at verse number 14. The Bible says, wherefore he saith, awake thou that sleepest and arise from the dead, and Christ shall give thee light. See then that you walk circumspectly. That word circumspectly means to look around cautiously to avoid mistakes and bad consequences. Not as fools, but as wise. Redeeming the time, because the days are evil. Wherefore be ye not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is. And be not drunk with wine where it is excess, but be filled with the Spirit. Can I say, first of all, walking with God, it's a reverent time But second of all, if you're going to walk with God, you're going to have to redeem the time. You're going to have to redeem the time. You know, child of God, the only way that you and I can redeem time is to buy it in advance. You understand? Paul said in Ephesians to redeem the time. Other than our blood-bought salvation, the most important thing that any one of us have is this thing called time. Time can never be bought back. Last week's time and last week's opportunities, they're gone. Last year's time and last year's opportunities, they're gone. It cannot be replaced once it's gone. But you and I can redeem our time in our walk with God. How do we do that? I'll tell you how. On purpose. By schedule. Discipline and dedicated to God. Last night, before I hit the bed, went to sleep, I set my alarm for 5:30 this morning. And the reason I set my alarm, if God was good enough to me to allow me to live another day, the reason I set my alarm for 5:30 this morning was not to check what my email had to say, and not to check social media feed, and not to turn on the television. The reason I set my alarm this morning and got out of bed at 5:30 this morning is because I wanted to walk and talk with the one that even allowed me to get out of bed in the first place. And the one that allows my heart to beat and my brain to function, allow me to be in my right mind. Can I say today, child of God, mark it down. If you and I do not purpose in our heart that we're going to walk with God and make it a daily part of our schedule, you will not walk with God. I will not walk with God. Walking with God is work. It does take effort and it does take discipline. And child of God, listen to me. By no stretch of the imagination am I against you having a devotion book. But a 30 or 45 second devotion and you're done is not going to make you a spirit-filled child of God. But setting some significant alone time with God in this book, on your knees, and getting involved with what God wants to do in your life will do more for our lives than what we realized this morning. I'm talking about right now. The biggest mistake that you'll make if you're not walking with God at this present moment is to say, okay, God, tomorrow I'm going to wake up and I'm going to read my Bible for 2 hours and I'm going to spend an hour and a half on my knees and pray. That's the biggest mistake you can make. I believe the God of heaven would be pleased with you if you're not walking with God right now, if you'll just find your place reading your Proverbs in the morning and spending time in prayer. Or whatever the case is, just do a little bit more for God tomorrow than what you are doing today. Amen. I'm talking about going forward. I'm not talking about staying in the same place. I'm not talking about going backwards. I'm talking about going forward for God. Right now, determine in your daily schedule that you're going to schedule and determine to walk with God. And you're not going to let anything or anyone else interfere with that time alone with God. I have to live by schedule or I will not get anything done. You understand? Just like I wouldn't let any man touch or harm my wife, I must be determined to not let anyone touch my schedule. Amen. Especially my scheduled time alone with God. Amen. Brother Fugate often makes this statement. He says, schedule oftentimes seems boring, but the victory that comes from it is very enjoyable. Amen. Amen. Not only is it a reverent time, not only is it a redeeming time, third of all, turn your Bibles to Psalm 1. Psalm 1. Walking with God is a, third of all, it's a rewarding time. It's a rewarding time. You know the chapter here. Psalm 1. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. And he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water, that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. The ungodly are not sober like the chaff which the wind driveth away. Therefore the ungodly shall not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous. For the Lord knoweth the way of the righteous, but the way of the ungodly shall perish. You know the verse, Psalm 119, verse number 9. Wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed thereto to the word of God, to thy word. Joshua chapter 1:8, this book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success. Can I say this morning, child of God, you're as close to God as you want to be close to God. The Bible says, draw nigh to God, and he'll draw nigh to you. Amen. Back this time last year, maybe a little bit later in the year, McKinney and I packed up all of our belongings from Oklahoma and we moved to Kentucky, and we lived in a house there that the church owned before we settled on our home that we live in now. And I've always been an earlier riser than my wife, and that's just our makeup. And that morning I got up and I went into my chair. I got up and went upstairs and sat in my chair, and I began to read my Bible and I began to pray. And about an hour or so later, Nikita come up and she walked past me and she sat in her chair and she began to read her Bible and pray. And we were in the process of closing on our home. And I began to think that it takes physical work to buy a house, but it takes spiritual work to have a home. Husband and wife, you want me to tell you why there's always bickering and fussing and fighting in the home? Is because instead of letting God be on his throne, sir, you put yourself on the throne, and ma'am, you put yourself on the throne. And if we'll take ourselves off the throne and make God, put God on his throne and let him be the foundation of our home, we won't just have a house, but we'll have a home. Amen. And lastly, not only is it a reverent time, not only is it a redeeming time, it's a rewarding time, but lastly, walking with God, it's a repeated time. You understand, walking with God is never a finished work. Brother Danny, we never reach some elevated plane where we never need God to work anymore in our lives. You sang it on the bus route when you were a kid, but maybe every now and then we need to sing it again. He's still working on me. I'm not going to sing it. I'm saving my voice for the preaching hour. Amen. He's still working on me to make me what I ought to be. It took him just a week to make the moon and the stars, the sun and the earth, and Jupiter and Mars. How loving and patient he must be, because he's still working on me. Amen. I was preaching in Houston, Texas some time ago. I was in a conference. And that night, a preacher got up by the name of Dan Matter, Evangelist Dan Matter, great man of God. Brother Matter, been saved at that time for 50 years, been preaching the Word of God for 35. And he made a very bottom of the shelf, very elementary statement, but also profound all at the same time. He said, church, he said, I've been saved now for 50 years. Been preaching the Word of God for 35. He said, you know how I've been able to be faithful to God these last 50 years as a child of God and these last 35 years as a preacher? He said, it's not because I'm some great pulpiteer. He said, it's not because I've got some magnificent prayer life. He said, it's not because I've got an S stamped on my chest. He said, the reason I've been able to be faithful to God these last 50 years as a child of God and these last 35 years as a preacher because of three reasons. He said, first of all, he said, I've learned what it was to read my Bible every day. He said, second of all, he said, I've learned what it was to pray every day. And he said, third of all, he said, I've learned what it was to be in church every time I was supposed to be in church. And I know that that's what we teach the kids in junior church. But maybe, just maybe, we need to be taught the same thing this morning. Can I ask you this morning, child of God? Are you getting offended at just any and everything? Great peace have they which love thy law, and nothing shall offend them. You show me somebody that just gets mad at a whim, and I'll show you somebody that's not in that book. And I guarantee you, my friend, I want to be like David and say, help, Lord. I can't do it on my own. Help, Lord, for the godly man ceaseth, for the faithful fail from among the children of men. Dear Heavenly Father,